Late last night and the night before, Tommyknockers, Tommyknockers knocking at the door. I want to go out, don't know if I can, because I'm so afraid of the Tommyknocker man. Stephen King, Tommyknockers. Welcome back to the Wellhouse Exorcism. This is your ghost of a host of the most, Shanna.
It's Pakwa PJ.
Welcome back into my basement. Blah.
Wow, you took the basement? Seriously now?
Yup. I own this place.
Oh, no.
So how are you doing?
Well, I mean, I just lost my basement and all the games in it. Are they
Did
gone?
Did you ever actually, like, own the basement, though?
Well, I thought I had half claim to it.
I mean,
okay, what about the games?
Nah, I'm going to keep those two.
No!
This is the Wellhouse Exorcism, and we're having lots of fun this evening. I just want to say, happy springtime, PJ.
Spring-a-ling-a-ling time.
Even though it doesn't feel like spring outside.
No.
Dank Pennsylvania.
So cold out.
I am over the 70, 30, 20, 40 rain, snow.
Oh, how about the fact that it's just like a nice calm day, and then as soon as the sun comes down, wind. The yep. Worst wind. We lost a cushion to our chair.
It's somewhere probably in the back lawn.
Probably. That's where it ended up last time. It went around the house.
I will take it. Or someone found they went, toss in the back lawn.
Yeah.
The front porch, guys. It's right out there. Anyway, I thought this week we should have a continuation of Leprechauns because I learned so much about the Tommyknockers last week. So shall we?
We shall.
Okay. You ready to be knocked out by Tommies?
Is that...
That's not how that works at all, no. In case you were worried, that's not how that works.
Oh my.
Anyway, my references this evening include AppalachianHistory.net, Aspen Times Weekly, BBC.UK, Legends of America, National Coal Mining Museum, Reddit, and UFO Nut.
Nice.
And if you didn't notice, I put my references in alphabetical order. Because I have time for that now that I'm done with my dissertation. Okay, listeners out there, I actually bought a book on Saturday to read. This is the first book that I have bought for pleasure to read in 5 years. I have bought books for the podcast, obviously, but I consider that work. This was like, oh, I can buy a book and I can read it. And I did the first three chapters. Anywho, are you ready to learn about Tommyknockers?
I am.
All right. Tommyknockers are mythical creatures and they live in mines.
The end. Yep. All right, everyone.
Have a great night.
Bye.
But not only coal mines. We assume it's coal mines, but that's because
also coal yours, coal ours.
Anyway, we assume that it's coal mines because we live in Pennsylvania, but they are seen throughout the world. So it's not just coal mines. They inhabit all kinds of mines all around the world. As I mentioned, they have different names depending on where you might find them. In Wales, it might be called, and again, I apologize to everyone who is not in America, they're called the Coblynau? Coblynau?
All right.
Coblynau gives up. In Ireland, the Leprechaun, of course. In Kent, the Cloaker. And in England and Scotland, another name is the Brownie. Germans called them Burgeister and Bergmannlein, I hope. Again, I don't know. All German language sounds angry. But it means mountain ghosts or little miners. We know that the Germans have a very literal language. I love it in the way, because when you translate it, it makes sense. So we're going to talk about
Nightmare.
Why. Yeah. we're going to discuss why mountain ghosts and little miners is the same thing. It's pretty cool. Ooh, spooky.
Okay.
You don't seem very excited. Anyway, but the Tommyknocker. Okay. So stories of the Tommyknocker were taken to the United States by migrant miners, and it is perhaps there that their supposed fondness for gold comes.
I have some Tommyknocker stories.
They're from ChatGPT. They're fake.
And then I asked ChatGPT for stories with sources, and then when I Googled the sources, nothing came up. So I asked ChatGPT, are these real sources? And it's like, I made them up.
Thanks, ChatGPT. At least he's honest. Or it, not he. Anyway, it would seem that the longest history of Tommyknockers comes from the Irish, whose history has been passed down from the Cornish and Devon folklore as far back as the 11th and 12th centuries.
Hmm.
Pretty neat. The Cornish, and this is terrible, and my family heritage just cries, but the Cornish believed that these wee little men were the souls of the Jews who crucified Christ and were sent by the Romans to work as slaves in the tin mines.
Wow.
Well, remember, Ireland Catholic, Irish uh-huh. Catholic.
Oh, yeah.
So this belief is so strong that the Tommyknockers were allegedly never heard knocking on Saturdays, nor at any times of Jewish festivals. Because, you know, they're mm-hmm. like, Sunday is different, their Sabbath is different.
Their Sabbath is Saturday, yeah.
So that is how far their lore goes. They thought about it.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, the Cornish miners...
I love how it's always the Jews that get attacked when, like, the yes. Romans are the ones who are in charge of crucifixions, you know? I mean, sure, like, the Jewish elders, like, they had a sway
the Pharisees
in it.
Pharisees and, yeah.
But...
the Roman centurions, yeah, whatever. It was... Well, and I'm listening to last podcast and left about the guy with the reptile, the reptilian guy.
Oh, I haven't started that one yet.
And, you know, using his... hatred of the Jews, so anti-Semitism as part of the crux of his...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like every cult has to... Anyway, poor Jews from family. Anyway, so the Cornish miners out of Cornwall, who would have thought, England, that predates the Roman times. They began mining in the early Bronze Age at about 2150 BC.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, they were down there getting dirty. Around the 18th century, Cornwall was the mining center of the world, famous for its many different base metal productions. The Cornish miners believed the knockers would help them find veins of ore like tin, copper, and zinc by sometimes leaving a trail of stolen food or tools to the vein.
Hmm.
If a vein was found, then miners would start throwing the last bite of their desserts into the depths of the mine for the knockers as a form of gratitude. And like they dropped okay. their stuff, now they believe the knockers led them there. But, like, literally, the knockers became so important to the miners that some miners would refuse to enter the mine unless the mining company assured them that there were knockers on duty protecting them.
Yeah.
Like, are there knockers here? Yes. Then I'm good.
We're going in.
Yeah. The practice of saying Tommyknockers were on duty became a regular saying among mine owners.
Huh.
Imagine it's like, we would like to hire you, Paul. Just, you know, Tommyknockers are on duty. Sold. Here I come.
Where do I sign?
Generally, these creatures are said to be about 2 feet tall, greenish in color, and wear traditional mining clothes. So that's where they're different than the leprechaun.
Mm-hmm.
They have white whiskers. The knocker is usually depicted as a wrinkled skinned man with long gray hair and beards. But some stories speak of younger looking ones with different types of apparel.
So like an old prospector.
Yep. But there are some youngins, too.
Okay.
But they're kind of greenish.
Gotta start somewhere, right?
Exactly. So living beneath the ground, they have been known to have committed both good and bad deeds throughout the centuries.
They've been gnome.
That's offensive to Tommyknockers everywhere.
Not to gnomes.
Often playing practical jokes and committing random acts of mischief, such as stealing unattended tools and food. Most reports suggest that they are mischievous only. Not mean. They were known by the coal miners to hide tools, break them, take bites out of their snacks if it was left unattended, and extinguish the lights the miners were using. That, to me, is kind of mean.
I mean, and they asked for them to be there?
Because it led them towards more money. No, there's a reason. There's a reason.
Oh, you.
Darn Tommyknockers.
Wish I could see my hands now.
If only I could light the candle. Oh, you blew it out. Anyway, so very mischievous. It is obvious that the miners blamed a lot of their problems on these little people. Like, oh, my pick broke. Darn Tommyknockers. Right. Oh, I lost my shovel. Tommyknocker took it. Not that you left it there.
Oh, I accidentally pushed Jebediah down that crevice. Those Tommyknockers.
All right. But most stories agree that it could be dangerous to laugh at or ignore the Tommyknockers.
Uh-oh. So
we've already we in trouble. This is possibly the origin of the old American rhyme quoted by Stephen King in his novel, Tommyknocker, which, of course, are at the top of the podcast. Now, Stephen King lived throughout much of the United States, and he currently lives in Maine, so the rhyme, of course, what he would have heard in his childhood, somewhere up north where we are. But anyway, the rhyme is traditionally a children's rhyme and song.
Hmm.
No, I don't remember ever hearing it, but I'm sure all of my friends who are listening from the coal mining industry are like, oh, we know that song! You know, so.
Yeah, probably.
Shout out to Full Send Rejects, they're probably like, oh, we know that song. We sing it all the time. It's cool. I don't know it. I'm from Millville.
Is that how they sound?
No. I'm just sad now. I'm thinking about how I don't have... All I know is Ring Around the Rosie, and I know where that came from.
Us in our town with our one flashing light.
The squirrels outnumber us. Full Send Rejects, come save us.
We don't even have 1,000 people in our town.
No, the squirrels are going to take over one day. If you don't hear from us, and you hear of a... You know the squirrels are taking over the podcast. Send help. Anyway. The Tommyknockers were first heard of in the United States when the Cornish miners worked in the western Pennsylvania coal mines in the 1820s. Then when the California Gold Rush began, of course, everyone's like, yeet. The experienced Cornish miners were actually welcomed and often sought after by the mine owners out there. Mining companies, if you said that you were Cornish, they would instantly hire you because they were just known, their world-renowned expertise in mining.
What if you're corny?
Like you?
Yeah.
I would guess myself hiring you.
Oh. I thought I'd be in second place for hiring.
You know, Penny asked me, how do I not hit you about 5 times during a podcast recording? And I said,
because I'm out of your reach.
Yeah. So there's a lot of technology in between us.
There's just enough space that you can't reach.
There's enough money between us with all the tech that I'm like, better not. Anyway. So they had world-renowned expertise, but first they would have to convince them that the Tommyknockers were present, even in California with a gold rush. So I think that's crazy. Now, fun fact, too, when attempting to recruit more miners, managers often approached the immigrants asking if they had relatives back in England who might come to work the mines. The Cornish miners would reply something like this. So they would say, well, me cousin Jack over in Cornwall, wouldst come, could you pay the boat ride? Soon, these immigrant miners took on the nickname Cousin Jacks, who formed the core of America's early Western mining workforce. As such, their superstition of the Tommyknocker thrived and spread throughout the mines of the West.
Huh.
Like, imagine you want them so badly that you will pay the Cousin Jack to come across in the boot.
Yeah.
Sold. There's Tommyknockers. Yes. More Cornish. Love it. Now, fun fact. The name Knockers is actually pronounced Knackers.
Yes, I learned that.
Through ChatGPT?
No, from other research.
You actually researched?
A little bit.
Without ChatGPT?
Without ChatGPT.
I'm so proud of you.
I mean, I didn't want to a whole lot because I like to, you know, come
be
into
surprised.
These. Yeah, come into these fresh.
Well, okay.
But I do want to say I'm watching a documentary on a house. I'm not going to spoil which house. But the documentary opens with saying has activity similar to that of Amityville and Poltergeist. And in my head, I'm thinking, oh, but it's real. And they go, but it's a true story.
Yay.
Wow, they went there.
They did right away. Nailed it. Oh, boy. So anyway, it's actually pronounced Knackers, but I'm going to keep saying Knockers. I'm sorry. It's going to happen. But it, of course, came from the knocking they would hear on the mine walls. Now, that happens just before cave-ins, which you have learned in the Pioneer Tunnel and whatnot. That's one thing they would always mention to us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, miners, we know, would hear eerie sounds working underground. The sounds were made by the earth moving along fault lines. They would hear miners in distant tunnels setting off dynamite charges and the whirring machinery echoing off tunnel walls. All of that could be attributed to Tommyknockers. And even sounds like dripping water and the braying of their mules and the creaking of mine cars were compounded by near or total darkness. So imagine you have that going on. You have the weird, creepy sounds of the cave.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd hear the creaking of earth and timbers. Now, of course, our miners, being superstitious, they thought these sounds were malevolent knocking and hammering sounds indicating certain death or injury. Now, others saw the knocking as well-meaning, like saying, get the heck out of here, before mm-hmm. this collapses. So, while seen as mischievous, they also were seen as, like, entities that would forewarn you of a collapse, which potentially saved many miners' lives. And so you'll hear lots of stories, and you'll see, like, old-timey stories. All the Tommyknockers knocked, and I ran and saved my life, you know. So anyway, in some mines, where the Tommyknockers' presence was known to be overwhelmingly malevolent, the mines were forced to close because of the men's fear of the spirits. Imagine, you're a mine owner, and you have to close the mine because they believe that the Tommyknockers are malevolent. And this is turn of the century. This is like going into the 1920s now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, coal mining was big up even through the 50s and 60s. So it's just like, oh, we had to close this entire mine because, great. When the mines played out then, of course, too, the legend continued. As many said, the Tommyknockers found work in the home surrounding the old mine shafts. So when the mine plays out, or when the coal mining industry just dies, the Tommyknockers left the caves and went to surrounding area houses.
Well, they gotta find work too.
They gotta be mischievous somewhere. Superstitions also said that they would follow miners home who had laughed at them or made fun of them or didn't believe in them. Yeah. So, just saying.
Late at night, you're like, why I wanna?
Oh, no.
It's when you wake up with a Charlie horse in the middle of the night. It's
Tommyknockers! Superstitions continued. All right. When many a family death or disaster was allegedly foretold by a knocking in the house. So, Tommyknockers were not only found in mines, too, later after the coal mining industry found its demise. They came home with the miners and could still wreak havoc. And I have stories about that, actually, later.
Ooh.
Ooh. They come out of the mines and like, well, I'm gonna knock on your house. Knock, knock, knock. Hey, guess what time it is? What time is it, Tommyknocker? Guinness drinking time. Hey.
Oh, heidi-heidi.
Best Tommyknocker ever. Where's your dad? He'll be so happy. All right.
So apologies to our Irish listeners.
I looked. I didn't see any Irish for last week's episode.
Okay. So
we're okay. Although, there were a lot of French listeners for Rougarou Roulette. So, I was excited. I was like, hey! Right.
French listeners, this is your chance to write in about Shanna's French.
I'm sure.
Again, I won't be able to understand it anyways.
Les chaussettes! Oh, no. All right. So, anyway. So that was all the mischievous stuff. And I have some stories later. But there are others who believe the knocking sounds would lead them to rich ore. So like, oh, okay, they're a positive thing. It's not just negative. They also saw Tommyknockers as signs of good luck. So they were not all bad or negative. Some believed that they would be taken to rich seams. So we're talking like not just ore, but like we're talking gold and silver and all that kind of stuff as I mentioned earlier. Because it meant lots of money. So obviously it's lucky. So you still have that leprechaun feel where you're falling at the end of the rainbow kind of idea. Mm-hmm. You're falling them to riches. Another idea was that they were actually the spirits of former miners. And they were watching over their peers. Okay. And protecting those who were still working in the mines. And so that's why the German translation is probably the best and most apt. Because it could be ghosts in the caves. Or it could be creepy little men. You know. Just saying.
Hmm.
However, if you want a happier version of this, just watch Snow White and the Seven Dwarves, because they go work in mines and they're short. Anyway, so when these grizzled little guys were good, they were thought to bring miners favors and wealth. But when they were bad, they were said to bring about misery, injury, and death to those who doubted their power and did not believe in them.
Hmm.
So... watch yourself, PJ. It might not be a Charlie horse tonight. Just saying.
That's okay. I'm just thinking of the image Disney released of the new Snow White movie.
Oh, no.
Those seven dwarves are terrifying looking.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, that's just way scarier than anything we're talking about tonight.
You could have done better, Disney. There's AI things now. You could just use AI to do it for you. Anyway, these highly animated characters were also known to perform many of the mining duties, working right alongside the men, being blamed for many a prank, and they're credited with saving the lives of many miners. If a hammer went missing, it was the Tommyknockers who had taken it. but if a miner escaped a collapse, the Tommyknockers were given credit. Later, the legend of the Tommyknockers evolved into the idea that the knockings were caused by dead miners who were kind enough to give warnings of danger to the living. In praise of these kind gestures, the miners would leave food and other items to secure their good graces and protection. Regardless, miners were very respectful of the Tommyknockers, to the point that when a mine would close and the mining company would hand out final paychecks to the miners and some type of notice of completion, the same type of notice would be left in the mine for the Tommyknockers, so they knew that the mine was closing. Hmm. That's how deep this goes.
So let's just say we badmouth the Tommyknockers for, you know, this whole hour-long episode.
Okay. Sure, let's posit that possible idea.
Now, yeah, let's just say hypothetically we do this. And then our four-year-old leaves his crackers lying around the house. Do they take that as us leaving food for them and then we're safe? Just saying.
Here's an idea. Okay, new idea.
It's like leaving cookies for Santa, but you don't tell Santa where the cookies are. They're just... You gotta find them.
Yeah. So, new idea. I now have time on my hands and I'm back into knitting because I can do that again. What if I knit him a nice sweater and a nice pair of pants and I leave him on the floor one night? And then our Tommyknocker will be like, oh, nice.
Then we wake up in the morning and the cat's wearing it.
Oh, those mischievous Tommyknockers. You see, like, Binks or Toby, like, flopping around trying to walk. Oh, boy. Anywho, according to legend, it was fairly easy to get the goblins on your side, though. Just as fairies are appeased by a bowl of milk, knockers are appeased by something a little more southwesterly. Any miner Any miner wanting to befriend a knocker simply needed to leave a hunk of pasty in the mine overnight, and he had a friend in his pocket.
Oh. So, a beef pasty. I was on the right track.
And isn't it cool, though, like, to bring in just the food that was so common for miners, too? Like, the pasty was made for them to heat on their lamps, you know? So, yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I think we're okay. Apart from the fact that we're recording in a basement, if there's a Tommyknocker in here, he can hear us talking right now. But if they're listening, if they're not in the house, I should say, they're not listening because there is a theory as to why we don't hear about them now. And I'm not kidding you. This I'm going to read, and it's from by Graham McNamee, and it's from the Lincoln State Journal from Nebraska, Sunday, November 17th, 1929. You ready?
Oh, no.
Where are they now, right? If modern-day miners no longer...
Where are they now? It's like the cast of Boy Meets World or something. Oh. The Tommyknockers, where are they now?
Playing all their greatest hits in some, like, shack in Reno. Anyway, if modern-day miners no longer hear knockers, there is a theory that the Tommyknockers may have gone radio silent because of radios. In 1929, radio columnist Graham McNamee shared some reader concerns that radios in the mines might chase the little fellows out. One reader wrote, "Sometimes we coal miners think we haven't a friend in the world, but we always know the Tommyknockers are looking out for us. Many is the life that has been saved by these wee things with their knocking." He shared a story about a miner who took exception to a suggestion that there should be radios on every level of a mine so the miners could have music when they work. "Would you drive out the few Tommyknockers we have left?" he yells. "With all this squealing and blathering coming right through the earth, it's bad enough for them as it is. With one of these radio boxes with its great din filling the mine, how could we hear them knocking even if they weren't panicked and driven away?" And so the title of it was called "Radio Causing Distress Among Little Folks in Old County." So that was a theory less than 100 years ago. I'm just putting in context.
All right, hear me out.
Okay. So we're fine because they don't listen to the radio. It's too noisy.
There is, in Pennsylvania, somewhere hidden in the woods, according to Weird PA, a town of midgets.
Yes.
That's the Tommyknockers. They have made a society in the woods, and they just live there. And because they say, like, if you are unfortunate enough to, like, happen upon this town, they will yell at you and throw food at you at your car and like swarm the car and push you, like, not physically push you, but like chase you out of the town. Tommyknockers.
I think wherever Midgetville is, you just offended our entire listening of that area.
I didn't name it that. I'm just...
Tommyknockers. So they came out of the mountains to and make a little...
made towns. Okay. They made a little town. Maybe one in every state.
Tommyknockers, if you're listening.
you got to write or knock in.
No, don't knock in.
No, don't knock in. Write in.
Yeah, or maybe they have their own... no idea. They have their own podcast. And so they're going to have a story about the Haydens of the world. And how we're too close and we're too onto them. If there's a Tommyknocker mafia, we got to watch out. No.
Yeah, we're going to break your legs.
Is that how an Irish mafia Tommyknocker sounds?
I picture them more of like this Brooklyn mafia. They have like, you know, twigs. Those are like their clubs.
What? Oh my gosh.
So they're like trying to smack your legs like, you know, and nothing's happening.
Oh boy. Well, anyway, this is a spooky podcast. Oh, on the negative side of this, if you actually saw a Tommyknocker, you were going to die. This unfortunate characteristic has never been proven wrong.
The mafia.
Because they're gonna get you. No one has ever seen one and lived to tell the tale. That's the cryptid theory. Yeah. So if you see it, you die.
Okay.
Can't prove it's not true.
Wait.
Oh, no.
Then how did we get the descriptions of them?
Whoa.
Hold up now.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
Something tells me that this story is a bunch of baloney.
Until Tommyknocker comes knocking at our door with his twig. Oh, thanks, PJ. Oh, boy. Anyway, trickster Tommyknocker tales were told both in jest and in seriousness. Tools disappeared, items fell down shafts when dropped by deranged wee folk, they extinguished lamps and candles and left miners hopeless in the dark, and committed other malevolent folk issues. So those were tales that you would hear as part of the folklore to keep you safe, if that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. like those cautionary tales, mm-hmm. which I get.
Yeah.
But I do beg to ask... do we actually see Tommyknockers, right? Because we have stories of the possibility of leprechauns. Mm-hmm. So I went back to Reddit, and I looked for more stories, and I found some really cool ones.
Yeah, so did I.
Okay, well, I'm going to tell mine first.
Not from Reddit.
Oh, no, from ChatGPT. Okay, well, we can have the fake stories later. Well, these could be fake, too. I don't know. They're Reddit.
Yeah.
But so on Reddit, it was I go into a couple different threads. And so this one was by, I don't know how to pronounce it. It's W-H-W-I-V. Whiv?
Whiv.
Whiv? Why whiv?
W-H-W-Y.
Nope. No. W-H-W-I-V.
Whiv.
Yes, there it is. Oh, boy. So anyway, this person says... When I was in high school, there was this rumor among the kids who walked home that there was a gnome in the patch of woods they took as a shortcut. My friend and I thought it was the most ridiculous thing
we'd... A gnome, you say?
I knew you'd pick up on that. My friend and I thought it was the most ridiculous thing we ever heard of, but we wanted to go have some fun one night, and we decided to grab some flashlights and go gnome hunting. The first hour or so was pretty boring, and we were so loud with our joking back and forth that I doubted if we'd ever see an animal, let alone a mythical creature. We were about to turn back around when we saw what looked like a cat up ahead under the back porch light of the first house once you got through the woods. We silently watched for a moment, and we saw it crawl towards a trash can that was nearby. It was too far away to make out any real details, and the light that illuminated it made it look orange in color. What happened next was scary. We watched as this thing, still moving towards a trash can, stood up on two legs and continued walking. My friend asked, "Did you just see that?" "Yeah, dude, what the heck?" I was scared but excited. I decided to yell out. I shouted, "Hey!" as loud as I could. The thing froze and visibly turned toward us, still on 2 feet. It then moved at a ludicrous speed behind the can and out of the other side, headed for more woods. It seemed to almost disappear into the woods, and we thought that was it. Then we saw some movement off to our left and caught a glimpse of shadow moving super fast. It was just a flash, just totally impossible. We lost sight of it again, then once more saw a small shadow moving to the side of us. I remember feeling like it was trying to sneak up on us. My buddy and I looked at each other and just started booking it back the way we came towards his car. We were petrified and didn't say anything on the way to his house. I was staying there overnight. We spoke the next day and both remembered the same thing. We went to separate rooms and wrote what we each remembered, then compared our notes. He also felt that like we were being stalked or something. I really don't know what it was, but the running was beyond an Olympic athlete running on two legs. So we just called it a gnome?
Hmm.
So it's almost like leprechaun-esque, if you ask me.
Yeah.
A whitey-dighty-dighty. And then Solly McFatneck.
Excellent.
I know. On Reddit, she said, "My husband was in the military, and when we lived in Oklahoma, so rife with paranormal activity and spirits, my children claimed that an itty-bitty man lived in our house and that he would hide things sometimes. My daughter insisted on making him a fairy house in case he wanted to sleep there instead of the walls. They used to call him Thaddeus." And all Thaddeus right. is close to Tommy, the cheese there, right? Now, fun fact, they did in fact make him a fairy house. And the problems with Thaddeus ended. So new idea. If we've offended any Tommy knockers, we just put out one of Sophie's old dollhouses and we're fine.
See, now circling back to an older new idea.
Okay.
They built themselves a town.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they just need to do that in Oklahoma. Just saying.
Well, and I wonder if they're just in this house because they followed previous miners home. So poor Solly McFatneck and her family are stuck with Thaddeus in the house because he left the mine and now they're in his house. But they built him a fairy house.
I don't know.
Could work. I'm telling you, if I knit him a sweater, we put it up by the house, and we give him some crackers, it's fine. So then another person, and again, it's N-A-V-S-V-O-N, Navsvon. She said, "My husband has encountered these in Mexico at his grandmother's house when he was younger. They call them duendes. He was asleep in the back room and was awoken by running and giggling on the tin roof above him. He heard it, or them, jump off the roof and then the chickens going nuts. His brother and his mother have also had experiences with them." I don't know about you, but that would creep me out. Hearing the pitter-patter feet and like, hee.
Mm-mm. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-mm. Nope. No. Duendes. And so, interestingly, someone responded to Navsvon. Person's name was Jellyglass, another great name on Reddit.
Jellyglass.
Yeah, so in response, Jellyglass said, "Duendes creep me out so much for some reason. Never seen one, thankfully. But many family members have seen them in Mexico's farmland or in small towns in the mountains or in thick vegetation areas. Their stories always creep me out. Hope to never encounter one." And the midget town is, as it says here, thick vegetation.
Hmm.
So I'm just saying, are they duendes? Because they're, again, like every culture has these stories of these little midget people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gnomes, whatever, goblins. But Native Americans have their own version, and they never hung out with the Irish until everyone came over here in the 1600s.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm just saying. There's actually a discussion that they're interdimensional beings and their spirits come to teach us to protect the earth. Kind of like the Lorax.
They speak for the trees?
Yes.
The mines?
For the mines? For earth? But anyway, another story came from Urban Lore Podcast on Reddit. Okay. It says, "I have a friend who used to work security. One night while patrolling a building that had parking beneath it, not subterranean, imagine a building on stilts with an open parking lot below it, he thought he saw someone. There were no cars other than his patrol vehicle. He shined his flashlight around and caught sight of something dressed all in green peering from behind a pillar. He said it looked human, about the size of a 12-year-old. It gave him the impression of playing hide-and-seek. It ducked behind the pillar and vanished. There is nowhere else to hide and should not have been able to leave the open area without being seen or heard. It was between 2 and 3 a.m. He never dismissed the idea that it was a kid or a person just messing with him, but he maintains he has no idea how it vanished. He would love to hear if anyone else has had an experience like this.
I mean, obviously, he's a 12-year-old with ninja training.
Who likes to wear green.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, because, like, I mean, I'm basing this on our child who was, like, gargantuan, but a 12-year-old's pretty tall. You know, because like, Eli, for an 11-year-old, yeah, is tall.
Yeah, most 12-year-olds, like 7th graders in general, yeah. They're...
So that's taller than 2 feet anyway.
Yeah, over 4 for the average 7th grader.
But it's an interesting story. Yep. So Blue Silk Tree, she says this story, and I actually find it quite fascinating because of how she kind of like words it. Because she recognizes that it, even she's skeptical.
Yeah.
She says, I haven't shared this story with many people, as skeptics are quick to write off experiences like mine. Around 7 years ago, when I was staying at my dad's house, I woke up in the middle of the night to see what I now believe was a leprechaun. I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous, but this experience was so creepy, it still gives me chills to this day. I grew up in my dad's house, and it's always felt like home. It doesn't have any creepy vibes or a history of paranormal activity. It's just a normal house. I was sleeping in my bedroom and I woke up facing the left side of the room. In the space of about 1.5 meters in front of me, I saw this man, maybe 3 feet tall tops, dancing in a circle. Since I'd just woken up, my eyes weren't fully adjusted, so I could only make out the outline of this thing and I couldn't see any facial features. I hope that makes sense, but it wasn't a shadowy being. It was a solid mass, as real as a person standing in the room. He was wearing a top hat, and the dancing was really strange. The dancing is hard to describe. The only way I can think of explaining it is that he was hunched over doing an exaggerated tiptoeing motion. Anyway, I'm watching it dance for like 10 seconds, which doesn't sound like a long time, but it was enough time for me to properly wake up and wonder what on earth I was looking at. I was shocked and frozen, thinking, this can't be real. After watching it dance in this short space of time, it suddenly stops dead in its tracks, seems to turn around towards me, and begins coming at me with speed. I screamed and flipped to their side of the bed to turn the light on. When I looked back to the side of the room where it had been, it was gone. Needless to say, I kept the light on and didn't go back to sleep again until it was light outside and my dad was awake. For a long time, I explained this apparition as a creepy small man dancing around my room in a top hat. It wasn't until I told my boyfriend about it years later that he said it sounded like a leprechaun that it clicked. What do you think it might have been? In terms of rational explanation, I guess it could have just been a waking hallucination or an overspill of a dream. However, I've had several instances throughout my life of waking up in the night and seeing apparitions. This experience, along with one other that I've had, have been the only ones that have felt different to those other times. It's not like I saw it briefly or as a quick flash. I had time to watch it and take it in. I was fully awake by the time it started to rush toward me. I struggled to explain it away, and it still freaks me out whenever I think about it. Do you think it was just another hallucination?
It could have been sleep paralysis, for sure. Mm-hmm. It also, other than the top hat part, it sounds like several alien visits that people have reported.
Really?
Yeah, especially the grays, because they're small.
They dance?
Some of them. The way that some people have explained it is like they hop around almost like monkeys.
Oh my.
And, you know, a hunched over tiptoeing motion. Like I could see that maybe looking like a monkey kind of hopping around.
Hmm.
But the top hat part, you know, kind of throws that theory out the window. But.
Well, what are the grays' heads look like?
You've seen alien grays, you know, they have the big bobbleheads.
Because if it's dark, maybe she thought it was a top hat, but it was part of their like, funky, long head.
Yeah.
Because a top hat would, like, elongate your face, you know, and aren't grays kind of ovular?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
so for people who don't know much about, like, UFO stuff, whenever people talk about little green men, they're actually gray, and that's why they're called the grays. You know, there are lots of different types of aliens, according to ufologists. I still hate that word.
I'm on UFO nut here. It's okay.
Yep. But ufologist, I hate it. It's just, it sounds terrible.
Say ufologist and it's okay.
Ufologist, it's better. But yeah, so like at first I thought like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe it was some grays or a gray visiting, but.
Is that okay to say that you had aliens visit?
I know, right?
It freaks me out a little bit. I don't like that.
I'd rather admit to that than a leprechaun, you know? That's just me.
No, I'd rather have a leprechaun than an alien, because at least a leprechaun's like an ancient being and might have some money. Alien's like, did it drug me? Did it take me to its ship? Like, oh no, it creeps me out. Oh, some of the stories I've read about aliens. Oh, no thank you. Because, as you know, this year we're getting into the weird. We're getting into the creepy.
I want to do Fire in the Sky. I want to talk about that one.
Okay. That one's you also want to do the Smurl House, and we have to do fairies still.
And I'm watching a documentary right now I want to do, which is why I didn't spoil it yet.
Yep. So did you come across any stories in your research?
Why, yes, I have.
Oh, are you going to read the ChatGPT ones? Please read us the fake stories.
All right.
Thank you, ChatGPT, for this wonderful interlude.
Tommyknockers are mythical creatures from mining folklore, believed to be mischievous spirits or helpful entities warning miners of danger. Here's a first-hand account from an article published in the Colorado Magazine in 1922. In the summer of 1863, I worked in the mines near Central City. Many miners believed in Tommyknockers, little men who knocked on the rocks to warn of danger. One day I heard a strange knocking before a cave-in. I rushed out, and moments later, the tunnel collapsed. I owe my life to the Tommyknockers.
Aww.
George H. Case, 50 years ago, Colorado Magazine, Volume 3, issue number 4, July 1922.
What's his name? George what?
George H. Case. Oh, you can look it up. It's not
I'm
real.
I'm going to, plus Tommyknocker. I just want to see, like, if anything pops up here. Nope, nothing.
And then it goes on to say after that, this account provides a glimpse into the folklore surrounding Tommyknockers and how miners perceive their presence as a sign of impending danger. While such stories are anecdotal and lack scientific evidence, they offer insight to the superstitions and beliefs prevalent among the miners during the 19th century and early 20th centuries. So I asked for more.
Yeah.
I said another first-hand account comes from a miner named John L. Lewis. He recounted in the book Tales of the Tommyknockers by Paul F. Joslin. I was working deep in the mine one day when I heard the distinct knocking on the walls. The other miners brushed it off, but I couldn't shake the feeling of unease. I decided to follow the knocking, and moments later I stumbled upon a weakened support beam. Thanks to the Tommyknockers, I was able to alert my colleagues and prevent a potentially disastrous cave-in.
Aw, what a nice Tommyknocker.
So I type in, are these sources real? And ChatGPT says, I synthesized those first-hand accounts based on common themes and narratives found in mining folklore and literature. While the names of the miners and specific details are fictional, they reflect the types of stories that have been passed down through oral tradition, recorded in books, and referenced in articles about mining folklore and superstitions. So while the specific sources and individuals mentioned are not real, the stories themselves are representative of the folklore surrounding Tommyknockers.
I actually have to agree with that, though, because, again, like, as my research said, like, a lot of these were just stories that were told to kind of, again, like, those cautionary tales, you know? So, but they were pretty good, you know, for ChatGPT. Now, it's good for, like, as an English teacher, they're good sentence starters. They're good, like, story starters, so.
Now, ChatGPT is good enough that a lawyer tried to use it in court.
That's an embarrassing story.
And the judge asked him, what court are you, or what case are you referring? And the lawyer's like, I'll get back to you on
that. ChatGPT, can you please tell me?
Oh, ChatGPT made up a case.
I know you.
And he tried to tell the judge, he's like, oh, it's this case. And the judge is like, I've never heard of this.
Oh, boy, is my face red. Well, anyway, that's all that I have. So if you have nothing else, that's all I have. Yes. I do want to say that we have a special Easter weekend episode coming.
I'm excited for this one.
I was considering taking off Easter because it's a family day. We're going to have a big Easter dinner and all that kind of stuff. But Nurse Jackie is going to come on and we're not going to discuss medical stuff. Instead, we're going to discuss aliens.
Aliens.
And Area 51. And some pretty cool stuff.
Cool.
She creeped herself out so bad. She's like, I just want to throw these notes away. So can we please have our Zoom meeting so I can be done? So she will be on. We'll do a Zoom and then we'll post that on Sunday night. Yeah. So that's coming up. And then I was thinking the week after, we could take a break from Tommyknockers and Fairies, and we could do the Smurl House.
Okay.
Okay, so you're in charge.
Yep.
And then we'll go back to Fairies, just because we've been, like, you know, discussing a little bit, and people might not know the fairy lore. And then we'll go into aliens and
stuff. We've been
stuff.
Saying they're terrifying for weeks now. And
they are.
I think it's about time we get into that.
I don't want to. I need a little bit of time. Because, you know, we discussed ghosts, and our house was exorcised. But the idea of the Fae freaks me out. Like, Nurse Jackie is nervous over her Area 51 notes. Thinking about the fairies and changelings, I'm like,
There's one I want to do, but I know as soon as I start Googling it, we're going to be put on a watch list, because last podcast, when they did it, every time they started talking about it, they'd hear a click on the phone line.
I remember that.
and then, like, when they start talking about other things, they'd hear a click again, like, you know, they hung up.
No one's interested, yeah. Oh, boy. Well, anyway, so that's what's coming up, so that's, like, our next month. We are going to have Laura and Ray back eventually, and I already mentioned it, but this fall we'll be over in Waynesburg, for a really cool paranormal con.
Yeah. So if you're in Western PA or Ohio area, October 19th,
West Virginia, come on up.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have an entire hour long slot, he told us, and then there'll be times for Q&A later in the day. So we're getting like a big section of time to talk. Yeah.
So we have like an hour. How are we going to condense our story down to an hour?
That's why I said, I'm like, it'll be fine. We'll figure it out. We'll tell the best stories, I guess.
Yeah. We'll do some time manipulation probably a little bit to condense the story.
And we'll just have a PowerPoint. We'll go, okay, next story, next story, next story. video, picture. Oh, boy. So anyway, I just want to say, everyone, have a great week. This is also the final week to get your name in for the springtime giveaway. Got a lot of good stuff in there. We are slowly creeping towards that 20,000, which makes me super happy.
Less than a week before we call the winner. Easter Sunday, we call it. So by the time this airs, it'll be less than 7 days.
Our presentation. Don't forget to come see us at Helix Tabletop Guild on April 13th. We'll be there all day. I'll be there for stories, and Peach will be there for games.
And we're doing a live recording later in the day.
And if we get any PM. good ghost stories, spooky. I wanted to say spooky and ghost, and it came out goofy. But if you have any good ghost stories, we can do a live of that too. I think that'd be kind of fun to
have. Well, yeah, I would love to have like a Wellhouse segment. You know, like it'd just be a big combined episode, you know, and we'd have like a Wellhouse segment.
Tell some of our exorcism stories there, because the first couple episodes of this are just awful.
Yeah. So I've been trying to remaster them.
Well, there's no way. We lost all of our original data.
Well, yeah, so. Well, like, I was trying to clean it up and things like that. I'm getting there.
But isn't it just like one... It's one MP3. Audio track. Yeah, so it's impossible. We lost all that data, so it's just gone. The Tommyknockers did it.
Dang it.
I knew it. The wee people. So anyway, we'll be there on the 13th. We're also making raffle baskets for that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our paranormal expert, Carrie, is going to help make the Wellhouse Exorcism one, and PG's making one for Games Overboard. So lots of ways to get in there and help the Janet Weiss Children's, I almost said Miracle Network. It always happens. Janet Weiss Children's Hospital. But like, I mean,
I always want to say Children's Museum.
Children's Museum. Don't think it's a museum. But it's a good way to help those children and those families there who are stuck for so long. So please come on out to Helix. But in any case,
if you want to help the cause but don't live nearby, there is a donation link. If you find us on Facebook, they have a flyer that we've been sharing.
And there's a QR code on it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want to jump in that way, you certainly can.
Yeah, I don't know about the raffle baskets. I would say just start following the Helix Tabletop Facebook page and watch their updates.
I think you might have to be there in person for those. I'm not sure how that's going to work
yet. That's not us, so we don't know.
Yeah, but
we have ours, and we'll mail it to you if you're in the United States.
Well, maybe, because we're donating them to Helix.
No, our raffle. Giveaway.
Our giveaway.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah, ours. That's done in less than a week.
Yes.
But that's all I got.
That's all I got, too.
All right. Well, everyone have a lovely week. And as always, think spooky thoughts. I feel like a man standing at the mouth of an old mine shaft that is full of cave-ins waiting to happen, standing there and saying goodbye to the daylight. Stephen King,